I'm now joined with Councillor Donna Cooney, Green Party, to talk about Dublin City Council's new initiative. It's Bike Bunkers, a complete and secure parking facility for bikes. Also, we'll be talking about commencement of works yesterday at St Anne's Park and briefly about legislation issues in the event of a lockdown, in the event of a possible lockdown in Ireland due to COVID-19. Good morning, Donna, and thanks for joining us, particularly at such short notice.
I can, yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on, Johnny.
No, you're most welcome. Donna, first of all, tell us about the bike bunkers and how the whole system works.
Well, this is a new initiative basically to help cyclists store their bikes. And it's particularly for people that don't have access to a back garden. They might be living in an apartment, in a terrace, so a lot of people, we found that there was a survey done and it was the Dublin Better Projects and they did a survey to find out, some of the things that would encourage people to cycle more. And one of them was the fact that they didn't have somewhere to safely store their bicycle. Or if they did have their bicycle, it was really awkward. They had to bring them up and downstairs, so they may not choose to use their bicycle as frequently as if they had easy access. So this was a solution. They have them in other European cities. So Dublin bunkers were tested out as a better project on one site there last year. Very positive feedback. So there was a decision to roll them out across the city this year. So it's just a real success. Because, already they went live, they went online, and they had people were to request if they wanted them in their area, and they had a lot of interest, so far. So I think it's a really good idea and an innovative solution for what was a problem in our city.
Absolutely. And actually, figures released last January showed that 5,740 bikes were stolen back in 2018. So it all sounds like a very good idea. But I guess each bike owner will be allocated a key to the bunker where he or she stores their bike. Or maybe there's going to be a combination lock, might be safer.
Yeah, I think a combination, it could also be an app thing that you can scan. So, there's different methods, that are being tried out. But basically, they will be secure and, only those that have a contract for this bike locker can actually gain access. So, it could be you with, a few of your neighbours, So.
Absolutely.
That's the way it goes.
I believe it's intended.
Yeah, it's anything. Some of our bikes, particularly with the bike to work scheme, some of our bikes are, people are investing quite a bit in valuable bicycles. And, it's become a target, I think, for quite a sort of, it's not just the odd person just taking a bike. There have been people that are actually orchestrated bike things where they've gone through areas. And, and they're taken away, in a van, basically, So there's quite a lot of bike theft in Dublin. I think this is a solution to it.
Absolutely. And it's intended the bunkers will be erected in free parking spaces, close to the home of residents. Will there be a charge for usage?
There will be a charge because it has to cover itself in terms of maintaining it, looking after it, and that, they will... so you don't want something that sort of, falls apart or in any way. So it's in order to cover the maintenance and the basic, protection of the bicycle, there needs to be a cover charge, So they'll probably, look at that, there'll be a charge and they may adapt that, may bring it down or whatever, So, but there is a cover charge because otherwise people might just, put their bikes in and just leave them there, abandon them, and then that's not good to anybody, So.
Well, exactly. And I believe, though, it's going to be extremely, a nominal charge, something like €100 a year for the whole bunker.
So when you compare that, to the loss of a bicycle and that security of mind that you have, knowing that your bike is safe and protected and safe from the elements as well. You know, it's not just a matter of just locking it up to an outside bicycle, you know, part, you know what I mean? So you're protected from the elements as well as being protected from theft, you know. So I think it's worth the charge, you know. And you do, if you look at, that's a sort of an average charge when you look at different ones. Some of them around Europe are less expensive and some of them are more. So I think they arrived at that as a charge that would, you know, cover the general maintenance and the cost of installation of the actual bunker and then the general maintenance.
Exactly, yeah. By the way, will there be a facility to lock your bike to something inside each bunker just for double protection?
Oh, yeah, they have proper, you know, things. You wheel your bicycle up inside them. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen them, if anybody's ever been to Amsterdam or something. Yeah, you wheel your bicycle up in, so there's a sort of a little raft that you wheel your bicycle up to and a place to, you lock your bicycle into it. So it's easy to do.
Okay. Any idea how soon the initiative is going to start on Dublin's north side?
I
guess when things settle down, I suppose.
Well, I know there's a lot of interest and I'll definitely be following it up and making sure we get them on the north side of Dublin as soon as possible. We're lucky to have had quite a few of these other better projects, you know, tested on the north side. We have the water fountains in St. Anne's Park, which is another one of these better projects, you know. So, like the project leader is the senior executive engineer, Helen Shimanova, and she's basically, this is her baby, you know. She's you know, been really, you know, getting this very motivated to get this up and out into as many areas as possible. So I think that there's, you know, great support for it within Dublin City Council to do anything that can encourage more people to cycle. It's a general policy now to promote active transport, cycling and walking. So, you know, this is one of the things that'll benefit that. So I don't think it's, you know, it's not something they're going to stall on. This is something that is going ahead and you know, will be rolled out as quickly as possible.
Excellent. Sounds great. On a different note, Donna, if you don't mind me asking, I believe some construction and hoarding erections took place at St. Anne's Park site at the rear of St. Paul's School. Does the developer have commencement orders, I beg your pardon, for this?
The developer doesn't have commencement orders. Now, I'm checking the situation because maybe somebody suggests some pre-works may be allowed without commencement orders. I'm not sure exactly which they are, how many pre-works are allowed within the regulations. But, you know, it seems to be, you know, fairly, you know, they seem to be fairly confident that they have permission to do it without the commencement orders. They were bringing in machinery over the last couple of days. Even on St. Patrick's Day, I got reports of things moving on site, and they seem to be erecting. They were erecting hoarding yesterday, and there's machinery there, so they seem to be marking out the site. And yes, there's still a number of weeks before a judicial review. It's 8 weeks from the submission. So I know for a fact there's at least two people that most likely are going to be seeking leave for judicial review, two groupings, and I'm still hopeful that Dublin City Council, having passed my motion, emergency motion, at the March meeting, which was in March Dublin City Council meeting for Dublin City Council to look at taking a judicial review, they're still investigating that and still considering it. So it seems to be, you know, that they're jumping the gun, or they're trying to, or it's bravado or whatever it is, by mapping up the site. I just hope they're not doing any damage to the habitat whilst they're doing that, you know. So, I mean, it was concerning, I think, you know, for the people, you know, that have seen it, that have been part of the campaign, and we feel we haven't gone through the only, because of this strategic housing development legislation, the only recourse people have is, to take a judicial review. There's no other body. It doesn't go to Dublin City Council, and then you can appeal it to Imbord Pinála. It goes straight to Imbord Pinála, and the only thing you can do is take a judicial review if you feel that the procedure wasn't correctly followed. Dublin City Council recommended refusal on numerous grounds. Environmentalists recommended refusal. There's quite an anomaly, you know, in the fact that they had on board Pinála with one inspector just a week prior to giving permission for this large development on the same site, just adjacent really, within the same lands and on the same site. They refused permission for the school hall and all-weather playing pitches because they couldn't say that it wouldn't damage an important EU habitat. That seems to be a contradiction in part as well. So,
absolutely. Finally, Donna, in the event of any possible lockdown, in Ireland due to COVID-19, in your view, are there any issues that would additional issues that would need to be addressed, and made clear in terms of legislation?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously I understand that, the legislation is going through the Dáil and, that they have to do this, that there's going to be hopefully a sunset clause. It'll only last until the time that it's needed. What I'm concerned about is that we put services in for people that are either, in self-isolation or social distancing, and there are vulnerable people in our community. And I know there's a big call out for volunteers, and people have been very good, and they are sort of helping out their neighbours, either sort of individually or in a coordinated manner, to get in shopping and to look after the vulnerable in their community. But when we get to the stage where they're saying to people to cocoon and stay in their homes, if they are in that vulnerable age group, one of the problems that that I'm getting back really from the volunteer groups is that some older people don't have credit cards, so they can't do online shopping or pay for their shopping. Post have now brought in that they can collect their pensions at 8 a.m. on a Friday, so they avoid being, especially for older people. And I have spoken to Unpost about the possibility of bringing in prepaid cards, particularly for vulnerable customers, and progressing that. So they are looking into that. I can't say no more. It's really early days, but I've just made those suggestions to Unpost that they would look at having availability of prepaid cards so that they can do online shopping or somebody else can do it for them. And another concern I have is about lone parents. And I'm sort of conscious that, all the stakeholders and all the people that are vulnerable, this is all, crisis really management at this point, that one of the considerations that hasn't been thought of is that people that are parenting children that are alone, children are now, a lot of shops have taken the stance, understandably, properly, not to have children in the supermarkets, and yet what does a person do that is parenting alone? They can't leave the children alone. Schools aren't open and creches aren't open, and how do they get their shopping in? And some of these people themselves may not have credit or debit cards either. So I think, we need to, and they may not have any online services. I know myself in our school, and it's great now that, Fallon Books are providing school books online for free. The libraries, you can go on now, even if you're not a member, you can go on to the Dublin City Libraries. Get a PIN number and download books to read. So there's so much community spirit and so much COVID kindness happening there. But I am conscious that not everybody has internet access. We take these things for granted, and we're not considering the fact that not everybody has. And I know for a fact that not everybody has, because in my child's school, they were asked not to do their school projects. Online projects outside of school time, because it was a disadvantage for children that didn't have online services. So not everybody has. So that's something we need to consider, you know, because as this is going to extend longer than the end of March, that everybody should be facilitated with having access, online access in their homes and prepaid debit cards so that they can get their shopping online and access all the services and the information that they need online.
Yeah, well, I have to say, Donna, they were all very valid points, and particularly the one for lone parents who don't have access online. They have to take their children. There's no other way around that. But I'm sure, hopefully, something can be sorted. On a good note...
Well, they can't take their children, but, I mean, something needs to be sorted. And I just think maybe to be conscious of that when you're considering helping out your neighbours. Obviously, we're going to be helping out older people, and you know, and there's been, you know, but also consider those that are maybe isolated at home with their children and can't get to the shops. If we could think about other people in our community that might need our help, you know, we will have to get through. We will get through this together. And the Irish people are very community orientated, and I think this was about, you know, being resilient and being able to get through this. We will get through it together as a community and help each other out.
Exactly. On a good note, when everything settles down, and it could be quite down the road, but what would your views be in relation to the baths at Clontarf, the outdoor swimming baths, and having something organised?
Yeah, well, actually, there's a planning application in at the moment in relation to parking there. That's the deadline is the 31st of March. If people want to make a submission on that, it's up on Dublin City Council, and they're looking for extra parking because the planning permission that they have at present is for 15 parking spaces, even though they're advertising on their website that they have 40 free spaces, and that's crossing over the cycleway, and they want to alter the cycleway as well and make some sort of an S bend on either side, which will, you know, actually it looks to me quite dangerous for cyclists, and it's obviously implied to slow down the cyclists so people can be driving back and forth across the cycleway into the car park there. So if people are concerned about that, I think they need to make their submissions. It seemed to be, you know, that a company that haven't even been complying and sort of so blatantly not complying with the planning, there's still an enforcement file open on it, are just putting in planning permission to increase their car parking spaces to basically alter what is a public cycleway for their own advantage, I think that people need to this could set as a precedent, really, because it's, you know, to be so blatantly defying your planning conditions, so much so that you're happy enough to put it up on your website, and then in terms of the access to the baths, we are trying to work out some sort of a plan for that with Dublin City Council. And we are to arrange a meeting with them, and Dublin City Council have suggested, the area manager has suggested, a possibility of doing a pilot project where Dublin City Council would facilitate Saturday openings for the public in conjunction with the management and Swim Ireland. But, you know, details of it we defined on that, it's early days, but, you know, it's a little bit of movement on that.
Excellent. Donna, right, so unless you have anything to add before we finish, we're going to leave it at that.
No, I just want to wish everybody well. I know they're difficult times and people are, you know, getting a bit anxious and stressed. And I think the thing is now just to know that, you know, most of us are going to be fine. You know, we will get through this as a community and try not to get too stressed. And we need to, you know, keep well, keep happy, eat healthily, look after yourself, be kind to yourself, be kind to others, and we'll get through this. And I think we'll come through it possibly as a even more connected communities and as a kinder nation. And we really, this is bringing out the best in people. And just want to wish everybody well and health and stay well, keep well.
Thank you, Donna. Well said. And in fact, another point, just to stay positive, but not to be 24-hour watching the news and on all the various different stations. It's just going to stress you out. There's no need.
Take time out. Keep contact with your friends. Try and give yourself some time away from that. Do take some physical exercise, even if that's in your house, running up and down your stairs, or in and out of the garden. Eat healthily, and take time out. Read something completely different. Watch a film that is light and humoured, and definitely take time out. If you want to get just once a day, whatever updates that are coming out, the news is coming out with the statements that are coming out, the official ones. Check in maybe just to see if there's an update on the official website. And other than that, there's no need. There's no need to follow it, all the time. And I know, sure, we're all guilty, of that. But don't obsessively be following it, because it won't do yourself any good. You need to look after your mental health.
Exactly. Donna, thanks again for joining us, and it's a pleasure talking with you, as always. And
thank
all the very
Johnny,
best to you. And take
you
care out there yourself.
No,
you're most welcome. You're most welcome.
Bye-bye.
Now, that was Councillor Donna Cooney. She was talking about a number of issues, as you've just heard.